I caught about 2 minutes this week of a well-known preacher. He made the statement that he had decided that if he were ever to be executed, he would ask for a passage of Scripture, a chapter from the Bible, to be read before he was executed. He said, I would ask for Psalm 119, the longest chapter in the Bible. We're going to look at it today, but only three sections. To understand the way to have peace. You may be familiar with the psalm enough to know that it is an acrostic one with 8 verses for every letter of the Hebrew alphabet. We're going to look at the last 3 sections to understand the importance of God's word in having peace in your life. Turn with me to Psalm 119. We're going to read the first section first. Verse 153. The psalmist writes, look upon my affliction and rescue me, for I do not forget your law. Plead my cause and redeem me. Revive me according to your word. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they do not seek your statutes. Great are your mercies, O Lord. Revive me according to your ordinances. Many are my persecutors and my adversaries, yet I do not turn aside from your testimonies. I behold the treacherous and loathe them because they do not keep your word. Consider how I love your precepts. Revive me, O Lord, according to your loving kindness. The sum of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous ordinances is everlasting. The way to have peace is to ask the Lord for it. You have not because you ask not. The whole of Scripture in this psalm is about God making known to us His character and His purpose for us. His people. We are His people. And He's trying to say, this is how you ought to live. This is the way you want to live. He did so through His word, what the writer is calls His law. There's only one verse in this whole psalm that does not mention by some name God's word. It could be ordinance, it could be precept, it could be law, it could be teaching, it could be a lot of, He uses a lot of different words, but there's only one verse. And so His point is that you have to ask the Lord to help you have peace. In verse 153, the psalmist very bluntly or straightforwardly asked the Lord to see what was going on in his life and rescue him. He said, well, doesn't the Lord know? Yes, He does. But sometimes you need to let Him know that you need for Him to know. And that's what he's doing there. He definitely lacked peace. And you start to read and you start to understand what was going on. But the Lord is very polite, and He waits for you to ask Him to pray for situations and for people so that when He answers, you will glorify Him. I don't know why I remember this, but there was some movie, and it was a black and white movie, and when you're about 7 years old, which is when I watched it, and that was a long time ago, it was an older movie. All I remember about one scene was is that towards the end of the movie, and it was some sort of a romance situation, that the lady was hoping that the man would come see her, and she knew he was at the door, or what, however it worked out, and she said, thank you, Lord, I'll take it from here. Well, part of our problem in living our lives is we say, thank you, Lord, I'll take it from here. When what we need to do is to ask the Lord for peace. There's a lot that can happen that steals our peace. And sometimes we just need to ask the Lord. And so that when He does answer, and He will, that we can glorify Him. You say, well, we need to glorify God in everything we do, everything we say, everything that we go about. And part of understanding His word, His law, is so that we can glorify Him. Whatever was going on in the psalmist's life, other people seemed to be involved, and they were against him. In his lament, the psalmist used words like wicked, persecutors, adversaries, and treacherous to describe those against him. Those are the kind of people I'd like to be around. No. They didn't know the Lord, and they seemingly did not care. So even in the difficulties the writer was experiencing, he did not turn from God's word. He did not turn from God's law. He used expressions like, I do not forget, I do not turn aside, I love your word. That's what the psalmist thought about God's word. He knew all of God's ordinances. His word is everlasting. His adversaries, those making his life unpleasant by robbing him of peace, he loathed because they did not keep God's word. So in the midst of his difficulties, the psalmist asked the Lord to rescue him, redeem him, and three times he asked the Lord to revive him. It was not a good situation. If I come upon you and I need to revive you, you're in trouble. Not only because it's me who found you, but you're just in trouble. The way to have peace is to ask the Lord for it. What's on your Christmas wish list? Now, as a kid, I could make a long one. Now I get accused of being hard to buy for because I don't ask for anything. Well, let me tell you what I'm asking the Lord for. I want my kids to continue to follow Jesus and for my grandkids to come to know him, to love him and follow him. I want to see them marry godly mates, so I pray for kids that I don't even know are born yet. And I may not know for another 20 years, but I'm praying for them now. Because as a pastor, as someone who got to stand before their parents and bless them at their weddings, I want to be able to stand before them and bless them. I am going to tell some stories. I'm collecting them. I'm going to get one for every one of them, and I'm going to tell those stories too. But I want to see them grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's what I want for you. I want you to grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ. I pray for your kids and grandkids that they'll follow Jesus, that they'll fall in love with him as their Savior and Lord. I want you to experience peace in your life. We pray that God will give you a hunger for him, for his word. I pray your knowing him intimately and growing in his word will happen. I pray for us as a church that we will continue to look outward even more. I pray that we will see what God is doing and join him in it, whether that be through ministering to kids in this community or adults or other places. I pray that he will give us a burden for lost people, whether that be here or Vermont or Honduras or wherever, because a relationship with Jesus is the only way to have peace. Do you have peace this morning? The way to have peace is to be determined to obey the Lord. Pick up and read with me verse 161. He said, princes persecute me without cause, but my heart stands in awe of your words. I rejoice at your word as one who finds great spoil. I hate and despise falsehood, but I love your law. Seven times a day I praise you because of your righteous ordinances. Those who love your law have great peace, and nothing causes them to stumble. I hope for your salvation, O Lord, and do your commandments. My soul keeps your testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. I keep your precepts and your testimonies, for all my ways are before you. Jesus knows best how to live the life that you want. The psalmist's lament continued. Even those in authority were against him. He was being persecuted without cause. But that did not change his view of God and his word. You know, sometimes we say, now, Lord, if you don't do this, then I'm not going to follow you. Then what have you done? You have set yourself up on his standard, and let me tell you, none of us are worthy of that. The psalmist understood that. He stood in awe of God's words, and by extension then of God. He rejoiced in the Lord's word. He loved God's law. The psalmist hated falsehood. He hated lies. Lies about life and how to live it. Lies about who is to be worshipped and who is to worship. And he said daily, 7 times a day, the psalmist praised the Lord. Do you do that? 7 times a day. He loved the Lord because of his righteous ordinances. In verse 165, he stated the fact that all humans come to see that those who love God's law have great peace. Peace is not the absence of strife, per se. It is just knowing that God's got it under control. And whether it works out the way you and I want it to, it's going to be for our good ultimately in his glory. We went yesterday to Macon, Georgia. It's a long ways down there. We went to a funeral, my son's mother-in-law. She would have been 60 Christmas Eve. I was reminded of something that I remember talking to a funeral home director about years ago. There's a difference, he said, this funeral home director. He said, I can deal with a family and know if they're followers of Christ, because then I turn around and deal with another family and all they're doing is bickering and fighting and just at each other. Yesterday was a time of worship. Not because God did everything the way the family would have wanted, but because God is good even when he takes us away, because we long for the time that we get to go and join this woman and parents and grandparents and whoever else we know in our lives that are already worshiping Christ face to face. So it's not about what happens to me. It's about how good he is. And the psalmist understood that. Peace is completeness. It's harmony and fulfillment. His mind was inclined toward the Lord, toward his word. He loved God's law. He loved God's word. While he knew God's ways are best, he did so because he knew the Lord is omniscient. He knows everything. He knew that the Lord is omnipresent, that God is everywhere. And he just trusted him. The psalmist knew the Lord's ways are best. And they lead to the kind of life that all of us want. As one commentator said, when our hope of heaven is accompanied by the spirit and habit of obedience to all God's will, we may be well assured that it is not deceptive. The psalmist was determined to obey God's word. First time we ever stepped foot on our nation's military academy, the place that you and I know as West Point, we were taken to the cafeteria where all the cadets eat. It was quite interesting. It's all served family style. There's a table with about, I don't know, 10 or 12 or 14 chairs around it. And they had all different classes, you know, I can't remember what they call plebes and this and that and the other and whatever they are. They had all years of cadets there. And it was real interesting how they had to eat. One of the things that I remember was that they would serve milk. And one of the senior, older class people that was kind of in charge of the table would ask a freshman, how much milk is on the table? And this is how they were to respond. She walks, she talks, she's full of chalk. She's present to the nth degree or something like that. And like, what? And then this is the way they had to eat. To eat a square meal. And I said, why all the fuss? Because they have to learn how to obey orders. They have to learn to obey orders. Are you determined to obey the Lord? Are you in His Word enough to know what He expects of you, what He wants of you, and what He has for you? He knows what is best for you. He wants what is best for you. Think of God's Word, whether you refer to it as Scripture or the law or ordinances or any of the words used, not as rules and regulations as much as an owner's manual. This is how we were created, and God's Word says this is how you ought to live. The other day I changed oil in both vehicles at the same day, and it was a lot of fun because I had never changed the oil in this little truck that I'm now driving, and whoever designed it needs to be fired or made to change everybody's oil. I had to pull what I call a Chad Brown. Our oldest son, I caught one time, he was wiring his house. He was up in the attic trying to wire something about it, and I called up to him, and I said, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm looking at a YouTube about how to do it." I had to look at a YouTube. I couldn't get to it hardly. But I tell you what, it said put 5 quarts of oil in, but I think 2's all it really needs. How long would that last? So look at God's Word not as a rules of lists of do's and don'ts, but about an owner's manual. This is how you ought to live. This is really the way you want to live. If we would just do that. We celebrate having or knowing peace as we celebrate Christmas because God came in the flesh. Do you have peace? The way to have peace is to respond to the Lord properly. Let's start again in verse 169. "Let my cry come before you, O Lord. Give me understanding according to your word. Let my supplication come before you. Deliver me according to your word. Let my lips utter praise, for you teach me your statutes. Let my tongue sing of your word, for all your commandments are righteousness. Let your hand be ready to help me, for I have chosen your precepts. I long for your salvation, O Lord, and your law is my delight. Let my soul live that it may praise you, and let your ordinances help me. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments." Jesus is full of grace and truth. The psalmist's first request of the Lord is to hear him as he asks the Lord for understanding according to his word. Help me understand your word. Help me understand life. Help me understand how to live it, he asked. He praised the Lord for teaching him his statutes, even if or especially if the Lord had to get his attention to help him understand. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm one of those kind of people that the Lord has to get my attention for me to really hear. I just wish I had better ears, if you catch what I'm saying. Because sometimes the Lord seemingly has to jerk me, get a hold of me. We need to learn to listen. Another aspect of responding to the Lord properly was about his attitude toward God's word. He knew what the Lord had said was righteous. It was good. And so he asked the Lord for help to help him. Help him understand the Lord's commandments and how to live them out. He wanted to do what the Lord wanted him to do, and he wanted the Lord to work. And his intention was to praise the Lord for helping him. He knew the Lord's word, and he knew his ordinances helped him, even if or when he strayed like a lost sheep. He knew he could trust the Lord to seek after him, so he responded to the Lord properly. It is the way to have peace. In Friday's non sequitur comic strip, and I read the comic strips most every morning, The heading was this: The Irresistible Force Meets the Immovable Object. In the drawing, on a bridge, were two men, one pushing a bookcase on wheels that had the heading, "The Facts as They Are." The other was a big block against which another man sat on the bridge. On the block it said, "The Truth as I See It." The facts ran into the truth as I see it. That's where we are in our world today. Well, you say this is truth, and that may be true for you, but it's not true for me. Take something and hold it out and let go of it. Does it go up this way because you want it to? No, it does not. It goes down. God's word is true. And thankfully it is, because then we can have peace. But it may be that this truth, the facts running into the truth, as I see it, is what's happening to you. That the truth of who God is and what His Word says about life and how to live it are running into what you see as truth. And let me tell you, I understand that there may be pain. That there may be something going on in your world or something that has happened to you. I've told you before that I have a heart for adoption. But it is tragic when the two of the cutest little girls, age 2 and 3, scream out because, or cry, wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning crying. You say, "Sweetie, why are you crying?" "Because I dreamed my other mommy locked me in the room." And that's what we woke up to last Saturday morning, as our son and his wife are fostering two little girls. I understand pain. And I understand there are things that happen to us. It's because we don't want to live by God's word. That's why pain happens to us. But God's word, God's law, God's rules, God's whatever you want to call them, ordinances, are restorative as well. My hope for you is that you fall in love deeper with Him and His Word and His ways every day. And when you do, peace will be yours. We celebrate Christmas because God in Jesus took on human form and lived among us. And He is full of grace and truth. He knows what is best for you. I came across a story some years ago about some people that went to hear a well-known writer. He was a speaker, a philosopher, but he leaned toward being an atheist. At the end of the presentation, there was a short Q&A session. And the group who went to hear him were followers of Christ. And one asked him, "Do you know of 10 people who have followed your thinking that were living happy, fulfilled lives with families that were happy?" And the man hesitated. Well, the person asking the question said, "I can show you 100. Do you have peace in your life today? I'm not asking, is everything going just the way you want? I'm asking, are you trusting in Jesus and in His Word? Are you determined to know God by knowing His Word? Respond to Him properly today. If you do not know Him, come let us talk with you. Repentance and confession and falling in love with Jesus is involved. And if you do know Him, are you obeying Him by obeying His Word? We celebrate Christmas because God came to give us peace.